I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio. After months of negotiating taxes, land use, and policing, the Mashpee Wampanoag Tribe has reached a casino deal with Governor Patrick. Earlier this year, the Mashpee Tribe came to an agreement with the city of Taunton to build a multi-million dollar casino. We're talking about mega casino complex with hotels, restaurants, shopping outlets, and a water park. The casino will be built over a five-year period, but there are still several state and federal hurdles to overcome. Here to talk with me about that is George Brennan, reporter for the Cape Cod Times. Hi, George.
Good afternoon, Callie.
So, trump card for the Mashpees, right?
Yeah, this is big. You know, there have been huge steps that they've made along the way, but I don't think any is bigger at this point than reaching a deal with the governor and reaching it within the time frame necessary. They're actually came 3 weeks before their July 31st deadline. So this is big.
Yeah, a lot of people thought that would never happen because the deadline is at the end of this month. In fact, I look back on a piece that Jason Schwartz wrote for Boston Magazine called The Big Gamble. He said there were three things they had to get done before July 31st, and nobody said they could do it. One, they had to have the agreement with Governor Patrick. They had to get a local referendum authorizing the gambling, and the town voted in June for that. And the last thing was to buy the land they needed. Now, I'm not certain they've done that. Have they done that?
Well, they haven't purchased the land, but they have it all. They have it all sewn up. They have it under agreement. It's under agreement in such a way that, you know, if the casino goes forward, they buy it. If it doesn't, you know, they walk away from it. So they have their agreements in place for that land. So they have those three things all sewn up. It's the federal approvals now that are the big hurdle.
Right, and let's not forget also the state legislature has to vote on it. Do you think there's going to be any problem there?
Well, here's the thing. The state legislature has already been clear that they want three casinos in Massachusetts. And this is the best outcome that they could have expected from an Indian casino is to get 21.5% of the gross gambling revenue. That's unheard of in other jurisdictions across the country. In fact, an Indian casino expert told me yesterday that this is either double or triple most. Now, in nearby Connecticut, they do get a significant amount, but they were among the first ever approved. So there was no precedent at that point. They get about 25% of the slot revenue,
mm-hmm.
and Mashpee is going to give 21.5% of gross gambling revenue. So a couple of experts have told me they believe that's among the richest in the nation.
Wow. So why wouldn't the Federal Bureau of Indian Affairs, and that's the body that has to put the final approval on this to give it make it a done deal, why wouldn't they approve it?
Well, there are a couple of things at play here. In 2009, there was a U.S. Supreme Court ruling. It's called the Carcieri ruling. And in that case, it involved a Rhode Island governor at the time versus the Narragansett tribe. And what they said is that the Bureau of Indian Affairs, which is under the Department of Interior, does not have the authority to take land into trust for tribes that weren't recognized before 1934. That's when the Indian Reorganization Act took effect.
Mm-hmm.
And but in that ruling, the Supreme Court said if a tribe could show that they had some relationship with the federal government before 1934, then they can still get land into trust. The Mashpee tribe was federally recognized in 2007, which launched this whole casino talk that we're in right now. But they maintain that they can prove that they had a relationship with the federal government that precedes 1934. Now, that all remains to be seen. So the BIA will investigate all of that. They'll make sure that the tribe can meet environmental impact in this project. Again, they should be able to do that. They're looking to build this in an industrial park that's already gone through some environmental review. So those types of things seem to be a slam dunk. It's just that one thing with the Carcieri decision that is really going to be the hang up for them. And it remains to be seen. Can they prove to the federal government that they had a relationship before 1934?
Well, in the process of proving, how long does that take? Because Some have indicated that maybe and what we have now with Governor, or what the tribe has rather with Governor Patrick, is called a compact. But the real deal, the real agreement, would be after the Bureau has weighed in, as you've said. How long could they take to make a decision?
That's the billion-dollar question. There are Indian experts who've been studying this a lot longer than I have, who won't broach a prediction on when this will all be ironed out. It could be a couple of years. It could be 5 years. It takes time. The BIA moves it at their own pace. They do look at these things very carefully. Again, even with the compact, the BIA is going to have to sign off on that as well, not just the legislature. So they're going to look at that, and they're going to make sure the tribe isn't being taken advantage of. I reported today in my story that there have been tribes across the country where the BIA has said the tribe's giving up too much and the state isn't really conceding enough. So they've rejected compacts that have been signed, sealed, and delivered by the state and the tribes. So still another hurdle.
In those cases, George, do you have a sense of what giving up too much means?
Yeah, well, what they're going to look at, they're going to make sure that the tribe can self-govern. They're going to make sure that there's some self-sufficiency, that they can take care of their people in terms of health care, education, that the amount of revenue that's left from the casino revenue is going to be enough. In this case, it appears like that's going to be the case, because the Massachusetts market, experts are saying, is anywhere between a $1.9 billion and $2.6 billion market. There are going to be three casinos in Massachusetts and a single slot parlor. Divvy that amount up, and that's still a lot of money to go around annually for all of these casinos. So they'll take a look at that. They'll take a look at what the experts are saying the market will bear. And I think bottom line, the BIA will look at this as a fair deal.
And following up that, Cedric Cromwell, who is the tribe leader, the elder, who really has been at the front of moving this agreement and pushing it, is very clear that his reason for doing that is about jobs. And the stats that we know is that half of the members of the tribe are unemployed, and 50% live below the poverty line. So, you know, for him, it would seem to me, or for that group, however this comes out, I don't see how the Bureau could say they wouldn't benefit. Some, you know, you got, there's nowhere to go but up from there. So even if it's maybe 1% more than they'd like the tribe to give over to the state, certainly overall there's going to be a huge improvement, it would seem.
Absolutely. I mean, poverty is a huge issue for this tribe. Unemployment is a huge issue for this tribe. And they're based here on Cape Cod. And anybody would tell you that this is a seasonal business here we have on Cape Cod. We do have some year-round business, mostly in the Barnstable and Upper Cape areas. So it's tough for them to make a go of it here. And many of them live in southeastern Massachusetts in cities like Taunton, like New Bedford, like Fall River, that have been really hard hit by this economic downturn that we're in. So, yeah, I mean, the BIA is going to look at it. They're going to see that the tribe is looking to make it a priority to make these jobs available for their people. And, you know, it's going to be difficult for them to say that this doesn't benefit the tribe.
And I wanted to raise that point, because where there may be disagreement about what other casinos and where they are placed, and if they will, in fact, turn into, quote unquote, real jobs. In this scenario, this is clear. There's a connection here that something economically moving upward is good for them out of this deal. It's just the only way that it, given their circumstances right now.
Absolutely. It's a real economic boost for the tribe. There's no other way at this point for them to generate income. They do get grants from the federal government that helps them with their health care. They're getting some grants that's going to help them with housing. But this is a way for them to help themselves. And that's what the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act was all about. It was an opportunity to give tribes to boost themselves, to be able to self-govern. They're a sovereign nation, and that's something that people have a hard time wrapping their arms around, is that they're a nation and they're a government, just like Massachusetts is a government, just like the United States is a government. When Cedric Cromwell sits down across from Governor Deval Patrick, they're leader to leader of a group of people. Now, many of those people are also citizens of Massachusetts, but they are part of the Mashpee Wampanoag Nation as well.
So let's look at the deal a little bit more closely in terms of, we've talked about how it benefits the tribe and why they, the members of the tribe were interested, and particularly Cedric Cromwell, in pushing this deal through. And in fact, the tribal council voted 7-1 in favor of this compact. But what does the town get out of it? What does the surrounding area get out of it, potentially? We know, as I've said, that the Taunton area voters endorsed it. They want to bring that casino there. And it's being described as a real entertainment complex that has a little something for everybody, with the three hotels and the restaurant and the water park and the retail outlets. That potentially is a big draw for all the surrounding areas.
That's right. Taunton is going to benefit. They've already reached an agreement with the tribe where they're going to get at least $14 million a year. $8 million of that is from slot revenue, and the rest of the money is for to help them with public safety, to help them with schools and those types of things. And they're going to get an initial amount of money of $33 million to help with infrastructure improvements in the city, things like a new fire station that's needed in East Taunton, or upgrades to it anyway, and some water lines and sewer, all those types of things that city, if you've been to that city, they can't afford it. They have a city hall that burned down a couple of years ago, and it's still sitting there with boarded up windows because the city simply can't afford to renovate it and reopen it. So they're in a temporary town hall. It's a former elementary school. You know, this is a city, the mayor has said this over and over again, it's a city that needs a boost. So they're going to get a boost out of it. Now, the neighboring communities, they're really concerned. And there's a meeting, in fact, this afternoon that I'll be going to cover, where city and town officials surrounding Taunton are getting together with the Gaming Commission Chairman, Stephen Crosby, this afternoon to say, don't forget about us. This casino is going to have an impact on us as well. We want to make sure that we're taken care of. And Governor Deval Patrick says, or his administration official said yesterday, that the mitigation funds that come from this casino project will, in fact, help surrounding communities just as they will in the commercial casinos. So that should be good news to those public officials when they sit down with Mr. Crosby this afternoon.
And they have to be comfortable, George Brennan, from the Cape Cod Towns, because this deal, this compact, effectively shuts out everybody else, any other commercial casino. And if a commercial casino does come in, then the take for the state goes down to 15%. So it's real money we're talking about.
Which the state isn't going to want to see. I mean, if they have an established casino that's going to give them 21.5%, they're not going to want to see someone else come in and maybe hurt this particular casino, so they get less revenue. And in fact, in the deal, they would get less revenue. It goes down to 15% if it's not an exclusive deal. So, it benefits the Mashpee Wampanoag to make it an exclusive deal, and it benefits the state as well. They know what they're going to get. And so that in that regard, it's a win-win for both.
I have to note that there is one very Massachusetts part of this casino deal, and that it includes a banning of smoking in the casino. I don't know that you'd get that in some other places, but in Massachusetts, that rings true.
That's right. And, this puts it on an equal footing with the commercial casinos, which they have to be happy about this morning, that there was some concern that a tribal casino would be able to allow smokers to come in. And that's not going to be the case. They're all going to be non-smoking, and so it puts all the casinos in Massachusetts on a level playing field. Another thing distinct to Massachusetts in this, which I found interesting, is that the state was able to get in there that the tribe must provide health care benefits that meet or exceed the standards set forth by the state's health care law.
Yeah, I saw that, too. That's pretty interesting. And
I was
very
told by casino Indian casino experts that that's unprecedented across the country for that to be stipulated in a compact. And you could see why Governor Patrick, that would be important to him.
I would imagine that would push the deal close for him to get his signature. That would make it way more possible.
Right.
All right. Well, we'll see how long it takes for the legislature. You say not too long, but more importantly, for the feds to make a decision on the casino. Thanks very much to George Brennan, reporter for the Cape Cod Times.
It was a pleasure speaking with you today.
Thanks. Kara Miller is here with me in Studio 3 to talk about a new book that is making people rethink how companies and businesses are run.
Yeah, that's right. The authors argue that Western innovation used to be really cutting edge, very flexible, very frugal. In fact, they give Ben Franklin as one of their examples. But they say now it's become extremely expensive, very bloated, and then what we really need to do is take a cue from the kind of dynamic innovation that's going on in developing nations. I'm Kara Miller, and this is Boston Public Radio on 89.7 WGBH.